I'm going to start with an assumption, or if you really want to go deep, we'll call it a theological speculation. So my assumption has to do with Eden, the Garden of Eden, before the sin of Adam and Eve, before they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. My assumption is this, that during that time, the mosquito was just another animal. We heard how Adam named them, and I'm sure the mosquito, if he said, okay, mosquito, come on over here, he obeyed and all that. So there's this perfect relationship between human beings and even mosquitoes. Now, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because they sinned against God, and look what we've got with mosquitoes. I mean, come on, God, why did you invent them to begin with? You know, we laugh about it, but in a real sense, the problem with mosquitoes has to do with evil and has to do with sin, the breakdown of a relationship that God entered into with Adam and Eve and us. And through our sins, the evil that we do, all these things are falling apart. God does not make mistakes. When he created the world, when he created Adam and Eve, he wanted things to go in a particular way. He had a plan. And we know what the plan is. It's very clear in scripture teachings of the church. God had a plan. What happened? Human beings came around, and we sin. We do what is evil. And so we look at the world today. We look at wars. We look at poverty. We look at all sorts of things. And we, especially me, as I get older, I keep shaking my head. What is this all about? Can people see the evil that is happening? Today is Respect Life Sunday. October is Respect Life Month. And in a particular way, we focus on human life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. And we believe, we hold, that every single human being is beloved by God, wanted by God, desired by God. And yet, what do we have in the world? Abortion, among other things, but abortion. That's a particular thing we look at during this month. And let me just give you a statistic. In the last 50 years, and this is a conservative statistic, which comes from an organization called the Guttmacher Institute, which is aligned with Planned Parenthood. Conservatively, in the last 50 years, there have been 1 billion abortions. That's conservative. 1 billion. Now, what does the Pope say about this? He says abortion is murder. He says that very clearly, and it is. It is. It is the taking of the life of an innocent person. And talk about the results of the sin of Adam and Eve. That's what we are faced with today, among many, many evils. But that one evil in particular is so loud and cries out that, again, I say to God, I didn't sign up for this, Lord, when I was born. I didn't sign up for this. This is just unbelievable, incredible that this happens in the world today to the extent that it does. But we're talking about what God planned, what God wanted, what God began with, and what we human beings have messed with. And you can look at the environment. You can look at job security, food security, on and on and on. And in this world which has been so blessed by God, what are we human beings doing with the world, with our lives, with our choices? Are we constantly going back to God's plan and saying, how am I supporting that plan? How am I living that plan? What am I doing to let other people know that if you want some peace, if you want an end to conflict, if you want the community that we all desire, we've got to make changes in ourselves and in the lives of other people. And in a particular way, in both the first reading and the gospel, we focus on marriage, the relationship of a man and a woman. And in God's infinite wisdom, from the very beginning, he created man to be the complement of woman, etc., and back and forth. And they fit together perfectly. This is God's plan, that they should come together in marriage. And this marriage is sacred, and nobody should put a stop to it. Marriage is sacred. And yet again, we look at the world, and many people do hold marriage sacred. And no matter what goes on, they live it, as difficult as it may be. But other people say, well, you know, I made a mistake, I'm going to try again. There's a term that's been around for about at least 30 years. Well, first let me ask you this. How many of you know what a starter home is? Just raise your hands. What's a starter? Yeah, the first home you buy, right? And the thought is, well, you know, eventually we'll need a better home, a bigger one, so forth and so on. Have you ever heard the term starter marriage? There is a term that goes back many, many decades, and it basically focuses on marriages that last only 5 years and are childless. And the idea is, it's not necessarily that the people go into it with the idea we're going to give it 5 years and then get out, but they have no clue as to what marriage demands. They're not prepared. And so they leave the marriage thinking they're going to go on to something better because they've learned from this starter marriage. But that's not what happens. Usually people make the exact same mistake again and again and again. Because marriage is something that is, it's not magical. It is mysterious, but it's not magical. Just because people are in love, that love's always going to stay on that plateau that it began with, so forth and so on. You have to work for it. How many here have been married over 50 years? Oh my God. We're talking... we're talking hundreds of years of marriage here. Now, we have to celebrate it. Repeat after me. Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless all these married couples.
Bless all these married couples.
We got to celebrate that. My parents were married for, 56 years or so when my father died. I don't know how they stayed together all those years, really. They were so different. But they knew what marriage was. They knew they were committed. And they remain committed. And so in the scriptures today, we have it clear that this is what God wants, fidelity. And even though other people like the Pharisees are saying, hey, but you know God gives us an out. Well, Jesus said, no, that's not what was God's plan. And this again is how human beings interfere with the plan of God, the blueprint of God. And we make up all these great reasons why, well, we should allow this, or it should be this, or so forth and so on, when look at the world. Look at reality. Look at what's going on in the world today. Across the board. At my age, I'm glad I'm on the downside of the hill. You know what I mean? I am. Now, with my luck, I'll grow to be as old as my mom. She was almost 95. And I'll keep saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. But we here, hopefully, are coming together to worship the one true God who created things in the way he wanted them to be created and wants us to continue to work on his plan that he began at the beginning of time. That's our call. And we come together during the Eucharist to praise God for what he has done, to worship him, and he is obviously worthy of all worship, to thank God for his forgiveness of us, the fact that he became a human being and suffered a horrible death to show to us his love for us, so that no matter what's going on in the world, we know what the truth is, and we are striving and struggling to live it among ourselves. And that's again where I think we have a big issue in the United States in terms of church community. We come to church, we go back to our individual worlds, and where's the community where we keep coaching one another, mentoring one another, celebrating with one another what's going on in our lives? Because we need that. We need that intimate union with one another to really thrive as Christians. We got to work at that. But that's what the church is all about. That's why God created it. to give us other human beings just like us who have a tendency to want to do evil, but we're here to remind one another that's not what God wants, and you don't have to do it, and I'll walk along with you so you can avoid not only doing the evil, but doing the good. And the more we do that, the more we build up that good. It does make little changes in the world. But that's what we're ultimately called to do, not change the world per se, but in our own little way, to take what we know to be true and pass it on to others. And most of the people who are really starving for that, who want it, are outside these doors. They probably don't even know this is a church or a Catholic church. But we need to let them know that what we believe is for them. It's a gift for them. And we want to accompany them as they receive this gift and grow in this gift. So scriptures, I've said this again and again, it's our story. And it's got to be a true story, because why would God support murderers like David and incest with Judah, all those sorts of things that went on, and yet these still are people that are chosen by God to lead others. And they know their sins, and they know that God will forgive them when they confess them, and we know that as well. So, as I say, get your squatters out, get your electronic mosquito repellents, because that's the reality of the world, but that's minor. The really bad part comes when marriage is challenged in our society, when abortion is seen as a right. And there was something in the paper today talking about a demonstration yesterday, and thank God we had pro-life demonstrators right along with the pro-death demonstrators. But they were saying it was about abortion justice, as if it's a just thing to kill another human being. We know the absurdity of that, the evil of that. So if we keep our mouths closed, and if we don't live the reality, the truth that God has given us, these things will continue to expand. And we're not going to save the world, but maybe we'll save one person. Let me just give you one story how that has happened in our own city. I think about a month ago, a mobile ultrasound van was inaugurated. Now, what that is, it's this beautiful van that has an ultrasound machine, and it's parked across the street from Planned Parenthood. And there are people out in front of Planned Parenthood for counseling purposes. And if they see a woman, they say, "Hi, how are you? Can we pray for you? We got a little gift bag for you." And a couple days ago, a woman had an appointment to have an abortion. And she was encouraged to go into the ultrasound van and have an ultrasound. And she did. She did. When she saw the reality of the child within her, she began saying things like, "Oh, geez, I guess I have to give up drinking pop, right? Soda, I can't have that if I'm going to have my baby." She's going to have her baby. Because of this one thing that many people came together to create in our city. So we do have a lot of power. We have great ideas, great imagination, creativity. But we got to keep doing it, supporting one another, celebrating with one another, celebrating great marriages, celebrating life, taking in life so that we can support those who are struggling with their lives. But that's what we're called to do as Christians. I mean, that is our commission, to go forth, proclaim the gospel. And that doesn't mean just talking about it, but living it, serving our neighbors. And it means going out of our way, or at least what we think may be going out of our way, to find those who are lost, who are worried, who are frightened, so forth and so on. But we have great power from God, and that's what the Eucharist certainly gives us, the very power of God through his body and his blood. That's real, real divine food. So when we go out of here, we're carrying the living God in our flesh. I mean, what more could we want? What more could God do so that we know our value and so that we can go and value the lives of everyone, even those who hate us, who call themselves our enemies? So a lot of work to be done, but God is with us. He's supporting us at all times. So as always, as we go forth, we have to think, okay, what do I want to accomplish this week? What do I know is coming up? that may be a struggle for me to preach the truth? What do I need to do in my own life to be more rooted in my relationship with Jesus Christ so that I can reveal him to the world? That's always our challenge, always our quest, to be better Christians, to be closer to Christ, and to love our neighbor truly as ourselves, so that we can show the divine goodness that he has abundantly given to us and wants us to share with every other human being.